The IRS Human Resources Office will see a workforce reduction of about 20% by the end of next year. That one office is a microcosm of what many agencies are facing: staff reductions through retirements or buyouts. But several agencies are figuring out how to survive this decline in personnel. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins us now with details on how those agencies are implementing strategies to dull the blow of having fewer employees. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Emily.
So, Jason, I just mentioned what the IRS's Human Resources Office is doing. You know, it saw a workforce reduction, or will see, rather, by the end of next year, a workforce reduction of about 20%, one out of every five employees gone. How is it planning for that?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, the IRS's Chief Human Capital Office will have about 320 fewer workers by the end of 2013. That's a significant cut to a workforce of about 1,600 people. But David Craig is the IRS Chico, and he says his office and the rest of the Bureau is using a leadership planning tool to prepare for that future.
Call it Leadership Succession Review, or LSR. It's comprised of four stages, but it really is a very simple tool for employees and managers to use, as well as for leaders to use. And there are four various stages of this LSR process, and it revolves around the employee takes a self-assessment. It's based on four competencies. It's based on a variety of behaviors, 12 or 13 behaviors, to determine what your competency level is for each one of those competencies and behavioral skills. And after the employee does the self-assessment, the manager does an assessment of that employee.
Now, Craig says the assessments just don't stop with the employee's immediate supervisor, but it actually goes to the top of the organization to determine how ready that employee is for management and maybe what skills they're missing and what training and development they need. Now, Craig says the employee and manager develop a career learning plan to get that employee ready for those next steps. About 12,000 IRS employees have gone through the LSR assessment, and Craig expects thousands more to use the tool in the coming year. Craig was among several who spoke at the HCMF conference in Arlington yesterday. Obviously, you were there on Wednesday. We broadcasted live. And a lot of the discussion was about the future. What do you do to develop or to create employees? So another step the IRS has taken is to bring employees together who naturally don't necessarily always come together.
We've created geographic leadership communities, which is an ability which people are actually getting to talk to each other and interact with each other, and it allows our leaders to help identify talent that they may not be familiar with and try to accelerate some of that movement around that's needed for growth of the individual as well as to benefit the organization and our taxpaying public.
So the IRS is not alone in this. You know, when you look at the landscape of federal agencies, do you see some other things happening or some common trends?
Oh, absolutely. And I think you can look at the Defense Department. It probably has one of the biggest workforce planning and succession planning challenges. With 780,000 civilian workers, DOD is facing congressional pressure, internal pressure to reduce their workforce. And, of course, they also are feeling the effects of the retirements and the buyouts that, you know, it's going on across the government. Paige Hinkle-Bowles is the DOD Chief Human Capital Officer. She says DOD is involved in several projects to address its workforce needs.
It is our plan to do competency assessments for all of our major occupations, and we're doing that through a strategy that helps us look at occupation by occupation, broken into grade levels. What are the proficiencies that we have? What are the proficiencies that we need? Well, where we will determine, okay, now what are the strategies? If we have a proficiency level today that isn't what we're going to need in the future, then how are we going to get ourselves there? What do we need to recruit for? What do we need to make sure that we're retaining? Where does our training and development come into play so that we bring the people that we have up to speed in the right skills? All of that will occur occupation by occupation and functional community by functional community to ultimately get to what we would determine to be our ready workforce.
Now, Hinkle-Bowles says the competencies will cover about 90% of all DOD's occupations, but the Pentagon so far has completed competencies for about 23 of their 33 mission-critical occupations and 65% across the board. DOD also will issue a new workforce strategy in 2015, and they're going to launch a new online automated tool to collect data on workforce competencies next year. Now, Hinkle-Bowles says the Army developed this data tool, and her office is just expanding it DOD-wide. Hinkle-Bowles also says the HR occupation went through this competency assessment last year, and here she discusses the results of that effort and how other occupations will be similar.
We ended up with 27 HR unique competencies broken out against three different levels, which I would refer to as generally tactical, operational, and strategic, but I think we called them specialist, advisor, and strategic. But basically, the competencies you would need at each of those levels to be proficient and at what level that we would need them. And then we now have used those competency assessments to also tie into some of the hiring processes where you use the assessments in USA Jobs or USA Staffing in order to actually fill jobs. We still have a ways to go. It is informing us on training and development that we need and what we need to do in the future, and it's helping us inform those strategies. So it's serving the purpose that it is supposed to serve.
Now, she adds, the development of the strategic workforce plan is a challenge, is not easy for DOD, because mainly because of how big it is. Now, Hinkle-Bowles says they have a multi-layered governance board that's leading a function-by-function, component-by-component review analysis, and they all come to agreement on the plan and what the competencies are supposed to say. I mean, if you think about how big DOD is and how many different jobs there are within DOD, this is a huge, huge lift. And that's why 2015 seems like a long time away, but they just need that much time to get it done and done right.
Absolutely. I mean, and just today we were talking about a measure in the Senate that would basically mandate that DOD shrink its civilian workforce even further. So there's a lot of uncertainty, I imagine, that they're also trying to grapple with and say, well, if this happens, we'll do this. If that happens, we'll do this. We're speaking with Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller. Jason, I just want to ask you, is there a sense of what current managers at these departments are actually thinking? I mean, is this effort working in terms of those people on the front lines?
I mean, it's always the hardest thing to get people to change, right? So the Interior Department, let me throw them out as an example. They said that the change management aspect of their workforce analysis effort has been one of their most challenging parts. Pam Malum is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Human Capital and Diversity at Interior. She says managers believe workforce planning tend to believe they should only be an HR function. But Malum says, hey, she has to remind them, hey, you supervisors, HR planning is a management activity, which HR plays a role in.
Our managers are beginning to see that this is a viable way of giving them a structured way to think about this. And the process that we've used to get this started, as I mentioned, we did the benchmarking, we created it, then we tested it in a number of small-scale ways within the Office of the Secretary. I said, look, if we can't do it at the highest level of the organization and be able to respond firsthand with the challenges, the lessons learned, and what have you, how can I expect to ask our bureaus to do it? Then we asked each of our bureaus to pick a pilot so that they could learn. And as we've then evaluated, how did that work for you? What would you ask us to change? How could we improve this to make it better for you? It's been the unsolicited feedback that we've gotten from managers about how much it's helped them think about getting their work done in a different way.
Now, she says managers now understand that they can take a position that is considered low risk in terms of if someone left, what would happen to the mission of the agency, and how they could repurpose that. How could they think about high-risk positions differently and to where the risk of losing talent is great, that would have a great impact on their mission. Malum says it gives agencies a longer-range perspective also in terms of planning who's leaving, who's coming. And, in fact, she says she showed a dashboard, if you will, with employees. I think it was a fake dashboard, but this is the way it would look internally, where certain employees are basically red, green, and yellow. Red means, hey, this employee is eligible to retire, and there's likelihood that they're going to retire in the next, 6 months to a year. A yellow employee may be someone who would retire in 18 months, 2 years, or 3 years. And green is, someone like us, Emily, who we're never going to retire. So they're using that dashboard really to do that planning. And, in fact, speaking of that online tool, Interior has some pilots going on, and they're going to release that tool more broadly later this year, or as early as January. And Malum says getting managers to understand the importance of that workforce planning, the succession planning, really is key to keeping the agency successful in meeting its mission.
It's interesting, Jason, because it seems like a great tool for managers. On the other hand, if I was one of those employees in the Interior Department, I might feel like I have a bullseye right on my back, if I was in that red or yellow category or didn't know but thought maybe they had slotted me in one.
Well, I think most people know what category they're in based on what they tell their managers. I mean, if I have an employee who says, who's, you know, maybe 68 years old, has been in the government for 42 years, and says to me, hey, I'm getting out soon, they become red. It's not a bad thing, but it gives my boss and my boss's boss the idea that, hey, John or Jane, who's been here for 40 years and has all this great knowledge, we need to start capturing his or her knowledge so we can make sure that it gets passed on to the next person who does their job. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. But it is an interesting way to see where your workforce is and where your, if you will, most risk areas are when it comes to workforce.